Welcome to episode one of The Lost Commons, Human Relevance Under Siege. I'm Perry Kincaid, and I'm delighted to have you join me as we begin this 10-part journey. This book is not the result of a single event, a single article, or even a single idea. It is the result of more than 20 years of conversations, observations, conferences, newsletters, interviews, even webinars and discussions involving hundreds, even thousands of people from many different walks of life. Over those 20 years, I had the privilege of bringing together entrepreneurs and scientists, educators and physicians, engineers and economists, even artists, public servants, psychologists, students, futurists, and ordinary citizens who are all trying to answer a common question. What kind of future are we creating? Many of those conversations took place through the Alberta Council of Technologies, known as ABC Tech, and later through the KEI network. Together, we explored emerging technologies, economic change, education, healthcare, energy and public policy, artificial intelligence, biotechnology, youth concerns, and the future of work. At first, these seemed like separate topics, but over time, something became clear. The challenges facing society were not separate at all. They were connected. And increasingly, they pointed to a larger question. What happens when technology, institutions, and systems become more powerful while individuals feel less influential, less informed, and less able to shape their own future? That question eventually became the foundation of this book. Now about the book. Before we begin, though, I want to acknowledge that while I'm the author, this book belongs in many ways to the hundreds, even a thousand, people who contributed ideas, challenged assumptions, participated in discussions, and helped shape the thinking behind it over this 20-year period. In the appendix of the book are the names of over 1,000 contributors whose questions, observations, and experiences influence these pages. To all of them, I have enormous gratitude, and I offer my sincere thanks. This book was written because I believe humanity is entering one of the most important transitions in mankind's history. Not simply a technological transition, a civilizational one. A transition that affects how we learn, how we work, how we communicate, how we govern ourselves, and even how we understand what it means to be human. In the journey ahead, over the next 10 episodes, we'll explore a series of questions. How are technology and artificial intelligence changing society? Why do many institutions seem less trusted than they once were? What happens when knowledge becomes abundant and instantly available? Can education continue to serve its traditional purpose? What role will human judgment play in an age of intelligent machines? How do we preserve trust, resilience, creativity, and meaning? And perhaps most importantly, how do we remain relevant in a world increasingly shaped by systems that think, that learn, and that make decisions? These questions form the heart of The Lost Commons. In the preface, The Invisible Infrastructure, I noted that most people think of infrastructure as something physical, like roads and bridges, or railways and airports, or power grids and pipelines, even communication networks. These systems are physical, they're essential. But there's also another form of infrastructure that is even more important. Think about it, it's invisible. Societies also depend upon trust. They depend upon credibility, they depend upon cooperation, they depend upon sharing understanding, they depend upon people believing that institutions deserve confidence. And without these invisible systems, physical infrastructure alone cannot hold a society together. Banks depend on trust, healthcare depends on trust, education and businesses depend on trust. Democracy itself depends on trust. But when trust weakens, every one of those institutions becomes more fragile. One of the central ideas of this book is that many modern societies are experiencing not only political or economic stress, but a weakening of this invisible infrastructure, a weakening of trust. People are increasingly overwhelmed. Information is everywhere. Opinions are everywhere. News never stops. Social media never sleeps. Many people feel exhausted before the day even begins, the result of fragmentation, of their communities becoming fragmented, attention becoming fragmented, shared understanding becoming fragmented. And when people no longer trust one another or the institutions around them, the commons begins to weaken. And what is the commons that I refer to? Well, historically, the commons has referred to land shared by members of a community. But in this book, the commons means something broader. The commons is the shared space where people exchange ideas, solve problems, learn from one another, and build trust. It's not physical. It's the dialogue that we have. It's the listening that we do. It's the cooperation that we share. It's the ability to disagree respectfully. It's the processes. It includes the willingness to think together, even when we do not think alike. The commons is where, when societies develop understanding. And today, when commons is under pressure, that is why this book matters. And that is why the title is The Lost Commons, Human Relevance Under Siege. Because the question before us is not simply whether our technologies will become more intelligent. The question is whether human beings will continue to play a meaningful role in shaping the future those technologies create. So in chapter one, entitled The Infrastructure We Can No Longer See, I begin with a simple but powerful observation. The most important infrastructure in society is often invisible. We usually notice physical infrastructure because we can see it. But the invisible infrastructure that I refer to is harder to see, the trust and credibility, the shared values, the social cohesion, the mutual respect in one another, the independent thinking. These aren't physical structures, yet they hold society together. When they weaken, the effects spread everywhere. Over the years, I noticed that many institutions were becoming increasingly efficient, while at the same time becoming less trusted. Universities were producing more research, governments were gathering more data, corporations were developing more sophisticated systems, and technology was becoming more powerful. Yet public confidence often declined. Why? Because technical competence alone does not create trust. People wanted transparency, they wanted accountability, and they want authenticity. They want to believe that institutions exist to serve people rather than preserving themselves. I'm going to repeat that. They want to believe that institutions created to serve people and yet becoming committed to preserving themselves and forgetting the very reason they were established in the first place. This is a great transition. To understand where we are today, it helps to look backward. For centuries, religion provided the organizing framework for a faith-based society. Churches were not merely places of worship. They were centers of education. They were centers of community life. They were the centers of authority. Faith provided meaning. If you've ever been to Europe, Eastern Europe in particular, where you see thousands and thousands of churches, you get some understanding of how deep and how broad the whole economy, the whole educational system was based on religion, providing the structure based on the pursuit of faith. Eventually, however, another system emerged. Knowledge became the new organizational principle. That was the Reformation or the Age of Enlightenment. Universities at that time expanded. Scientific inquiry flourished. Professional expertise became highly valued. Governments increasingly relied on specialists. Society entered what we now call the knowledge economy. Education became the pathway for opportunity, and credentials became the systems of expertise. Knowledge became the foundation of prosperity. And for a long time, this system has worked remarkably well. It generated innovation. It improved living standards globally. It advanced science and medicine, and it transformed societies. But every successful system eventually encounters new challenges. And today, the knowledge economy faces one of the greatest challenges in its history. Who would have guessed that artificial intelligence, well, let's go even deeper. AI is changing the equation entirely. Previous technologies help people perform tasks. Artificial intelligence increasingly performs tasks itself. That distinction matters. Calculators helped people calculate. The internet helped people access information. AI increasingly generates information. It writes, it analyzes, it summarizes, it translates, it even creates. These are tasks that once required years of training of people. that can now be completed in seconds. This doesn't mean human expertise disappears, but it does mean the value of expertise is changing. Knowledge itself is becoming abundant, commoditized. What was once scarce is becoming widely available, no longer precious, no longer rare, available for everyone, accessible no matter where. And that creates profound challenges for institutions that were built around controlling access to knowledge when now it's freely accessible. Those institutions that I refer to are our universities, our professional associations, our credentialing systems, even our government agencies. All of these were built during an era, the knowledge economy, when expertise was scarce, when knowledge was rare. But what happens when knowledge becomes available to almost everyone? What happens when a student with a smartphone can access information once available only to the professor at the front of the room or specialists? What happens when artificial intelligence can perform tasks previously reserved for highly trained professionals? Those questions sit at the center of this book, Comfort versus Resilience. One of the most important distinctions introduced in Chapter 1 is the difference between comfort and resilience. Modern societies have become extraordinarily good at creating comfort. We have instant communication, we have instant entertainment, we have instant navigation, we have instant information, we have instant purchasing. Many inconveniences that once consumed time have disappeared, but comfort and resilience are not the same thing. Comfort depends on stable systems. Resilience depends on adaptable people. And when disruption arrives, as it always does, resilience becomes critical. Resilient people can think independently during times of stress. They can adapt and they can learn. They can solve problems and they exercise judgment. They don't simply rely on systems. They remain capable even when systems fail. That distinction becomes increasingly important as technology becomes more powerful. The future may reward different skills because for generations, success was closely tied to acquiring knowledge, but knowledge, while remaining important, something is changing. Machines are increasingly possessing knowledge. Artificial intelligence is increasingly mastering how, while human beings must now increasingly focus on why. Why does something matter? Why should a decision be made? Why is a particular value important? Why should society move in one direction rather than another? These questions require judgment, the domain of human beings. They require wisdom. They require ethics. They require imagination. They require human beings. As artificial intelligence becomes better at providing answers, humans may become more valuable for asking the right questions. That shift may become one of the defining changes of the 21st century, something certainly our educational system should be well aware of. So here's my closing reflections as we wrap up Chapter 1. I invite you to think about a simple question. What's the most important infrastructure in your life? Is it the technology you use? Is it the institutions you rely on? Or is it something less visible? Remember, I'm asking you, what is the most important infrastructure of life? Is it the trust you place in others? Is it the relationships you value, the judgment that you exercise, the communities you belong to, the ability to think independently, the ability to listen carefully, the ability to remain fully human in an increasingly automated world? Those are the questions that inspired this book. Over the next 9 episodes, we'll continue exploring these questions together. We'll examine the forces reshaping our world. We'll explore the challenges confronting our institutions, and we'll consider the future of education, and also of work and governance and human identity. And throughout this journey, we will return to the one central theme, the relevance of humans. Because the future will not be determined by technology alone. It will also be determined by whether people preserve the qualities that make them uniquely human, their creativity, their capacity to judge, their empathy, their purpose, their responsibility, and their wisdom. Well, thank you for joining me for episode 1. I'm Perry Kincaid, and this has been the Lost Commons, Human Relevance Under Siege. 20 years, 1,000 voices, 1 book. I look forward to having you join me next time for episode 2, A Globe Under Siege.